Well, welcome everybody to Creating Healthy Living series. And today our focus is going to be on our bodies and why it's so important to keep track of what we're putting into our bodies, what we're exposing our bodies to, and overall health. And it's really in finding balance in all areas of our life. But today it's going to be the focus on the body. And so I have here Dwight.
Dwight. Hi, Becky.
Welcome to the show. We've just been talking before we started the recording, and a lot of really, really good stuff. You have an amazing story. And before we jump into the story, I wanted to just introduce who you are and kind of how we met. We met, what, 2.5 years ago?
Yes, we did.
Okay. And I think we were just talking that you had contacted me on Facebook.
Right.
And I had seen that you had had an amazing success with weight loss, and obviously that's kind of my story as well. How much weight have you released or lost?
I have lost 185 pounds in 4 years.
185. And so you started this process when?
Well, I started gaining weight out of high school. Mm-hmm. You know, went to college and got kind of sedentary there. And
right.
So it took a while over time, and then got married, and that has its own
of course
problems that way, you know, especially when you start to have kids and you have the family and everything. So many years ago, my wife at the time and I got on the Fen-Phen.
I remember when that came out. I was on my mission, actually.
Yeah, we lost a ton of weight, but at the same time, we were exercising. We were doing exercise videos
right.
very consistently
right.
and lost a bunch of weight then. But then the information about it came out that it was dangerous, so we stopped.
Right.
And even though kept exercising a little bit, gained back most of the weight, you know.
Right. So you were doing it together as a couple?
We were, yep, then. And then 4 years ago, my life changed in a lot of ways with business and what I do. And I decided that I needed to get the weight off. I wasn't where I wanted to be, wasn't as active as I wanted to be. So I just made the goal. And one day I started, one day I walked 1 mile on a flat street in my neighborhood one day, which was all I could do at the time.
What was your weight at that point?
350 pounds.
350. And had you been that heavy before?
That was as heavy as I've ever been.
Okay.
That was my top.
And so you said the weight really started coming on once you got married or when you got out of high school, somewhere around there?
Right, right. It wasn't like that, though. When I had a lot of kids and had that kind of thing, then I gained a lot of weight.
And so how long has that been? What's the period of time that you've struggled with your weight?
30 years.
30 years. Mm-hmm. And so have you gone up and down or just kind of just the Fen-Phen, was that the only thing that you tried?
That was about the only real big change, yeah.
And it just kind of kept creeping up.
Right, right. What and I've always done activity and stuff, but not like I do now. I couldn't do it to the level I do it now. But
so what was that? How did it make you feel? Let me just go back to that. How did it make you feel for your weight to be creeping up? And what was your energy like? What was your mindset like? How did it affect your life?
Well, it didn't bother me to be heavy, really, mm-hmm. as like a self-image problem. I didn't mm-hmm. have that.
Mm-hmm.
I handled my weight. I looked pretty good mm-hmm. with the weight I had on.
Do you think that now when you look back on pictures?
Did I look good?
Yeah,
do
you still feel?
No. But people now, they say to me all the time, you carried your weight very well.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I think that's one thing that kind of keeps us stuck sometimes, is we think, well, you know, I look okay.
I guess my biggest problem with so many people, it was movement.
Yeah.
It was bending over, kneeling down,
right.
that kind of thing. You know, you go if you go exercise very hard or you go on a trip and go out on a hike or something, then you're hurt
right.
after a lot. And so that's what really bothered me.
So it wasn't so much what you look like. It was really that you couldn't function,
right.
you know, as a normal.
Right.
And I remember the same thing too. I remember I couldn't lean over to do my toenails.
Right. Yeah. When people ask me now, what's the biggest, they'll say, Dwight, what's the biggest change that you've made? Mm-hmm. What's the biggest difference?
Mm-hmm.
And I always recite when it really struck me, which was after a couple of years of the loss. I was walking in a hotel and I dropped a piece of paper on the floor just out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I'd walked by it and I turned around and came back to it and I just bent over and scooped down on the walk and picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally hadn't gone 3 steps and it just, the shock of that hit me because when I was heavy, I literally would have stopped and looked at that piece of paper and decided if it was something important enough that I had to kneel down on one knee to
yeah.
get it.
Isn't that interesting?
Because I couldn't bend over.
That's what I've also found is that people don't really realize what kind of limitations we have when we have weight on us.
Right.
And I don't know, same thing for me. When I lost all my weight, I realized, oh my gosh, I can really bend over. I can bend in half. Sometimes I would just sit there and kneel or bend in half just because I could, or I would cross my legs just because I can,
right.
You know, before. So, but emotionally, what did it do for you for all those 30 years of struggling with weight? I mean, I know we talk a lot, women, we're very emotional, but as a man, what did it really feel like?
You were a little, I guess you'd say you're disappointed. I was disappointed in myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew I wanted to get it off. I knew I needed to get it off,
mm-hmm.
but you just didn't make it a priority to get it in our society, to get it and keep it off and change your lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
watch what you eat, all those different things takes effort. It takes work, mm-hmm. but the reward of it is great if you can keep it consistent at it.
And so what were some of the feelings that you were feeling though? Like when you woke up in the morning and you saw yourself in the mirror, what did you really think about yourself?
Again, I didn't have a huge self-image problem. I guess I just felt disappointed of where I knew I could be.
Mm-hmm. Were other people putting pressure on you to lose weight?
Putting pressure on you to notice it. My family would always say something about it. Always.
Really?
Uh-huh. Always.
So what would they say to you?
Boy, you need to lose a few pounds. I remember, if you have time for the story, my parents' 60th wedding anniversary, we were sitting at a round table and my older brother was sitting next to me and he's in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the salad out and he takes the ladle and ladles three big ladles of mm-hmm. ranch dressing on his salad.
Ooh,
I mean, just covered it. And I took the little, I don't really like ranch dressing that much to begin with, but I took the little packets and just kind of sprinkled it on. And as I'm putting it on,
mm-hmm.
my dad looks at me and says, you need to be careful about how much salad dressing you put on your salad.
Yeah, just because you're carrying extra weight.
And I pointed my fingers at my brother's butt. I said, look at that and look at this. And it just things like that, you know.
So were you the only one in your family that was overweight?
No.
Okay,
no, but only one that was overweight. I was the worst.
The worst. And so
the heaviest.
And so your family was really on you to lose the weight. Was your wife or any other family members, your kids?
Not really. No, not really. I mean, we talked about it all the time that we would like to change and get something done about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you have five kids and all the responsibilities of that and work and church and all those things, it's hard to make it a priority.
So what do you think caused you to, I guess you just answered the question is you had a lot of things that distracted you from actually changing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so what was
and
that?
And we watched a lot of TV.
So you had a sedative life.
Uh-huh, we did.
Yeah. I think that's really important because I think a lot of people that may even be listening to this may also be able to identify with that is that, you know, we just get in our routines of that life where we go to work and we come home. I know for me, I'd go to work. I worked a very, very stressful job, came home and unplugged watching TV for 4 or 5 hours a night. And then before I went to bed, I was being like, I was just beating myself up over the fact I didn't get anything done because I just unplugged from the world to get into somebody else's reality, right?
One thing I learned as I started a walking program at the very beginning
mm-hmm.
is it doesn't matter what time of the day you do this. It only just get out and do it.
Right.
Because I used to do it when I really started, I would do it late at night
mm-hmm.
after the kids were down and in bed, then mm-hmm. I'd go walk. So 10 o'clock or later at night.
Mm.
And I did that for 2 years.
Mm.
But in doing that, your body starts to take over slowly and you can speed up and you can go faster and you can go longer and you can start on hills. And that's really how I started.
Yeah. So what was that pivotal moment? I know I get that question a lot. What was that pivotal moment where you said enough is enough and I'm going to actually make a change? What was that process? Take people through that.
As probably most people, from the time we were in high school, usually we were in better shape than we are
mm-hmm.
as adults. And
mm-hmm.
I just got to the point where I just missed too much.
Mm.
You know, I played tennis in high school. I ran, I played football. And we would, a group of friends would play floor hockey, would run.
Right.
But all the hockey equipment, everything in a gym. And
mm-hmm.
I loved that, but you get winded really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch younger guys in their 20s
or,
and they can run all over the place. And I remember thinking, I used to be able to do that. And just one day I said, okay, enough. And started walking.
You could see, so you, yours really started with you seeing what your life was like before and then going, you know, I really miss that life. I want that back.
Yeah. And younger kids now, they seem much more health conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to pay attention to that.
And were your kids active? And so, I mean, did you also see that? So none of them really went and did this stuff. So you were really motivated by your past experience, in your life. And
yeah. I think everyone comes to a point when you just say, I've had enough.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Do you remember that day? Was it a particular day or?
I don't remember if it was a particular day. It was more of a, just a mindset of the time.
So you started walking.
I started walking 1 mile flat street, breathing like crazy to walk 1 mile. That's the truth.
And then what happened from that point? What did you get on a food plan or did you tell people kind of what your story was about that?
No, I just walked. And I remember after, I don't know, a couple months of it, I would do it faster and increase, but I remember I increased it 1/4 mile in one spot up a little incline, a really little incline. And I remember when I got to the top of that incline, just huffing and puffing, I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe that little extra 1/4 mile was that hard.
Right.
But after a year of that walking.
Was that every day?
Every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After a year, I had gone, instead of 1 mile, I was at 5 miles on all hills, all up or down the entire route. And I had trimmed my time down by 20 minutes.
So you were really weighing and measuring your progress.
I was weighing a little bit of the time. Like I'd pay attention to what time it was when I started and just to see how long it took me. And then I'd noticed after each maybe couple, 2-3 months increment period that the time would change and I could, your body just adjusts.
Right.
Your body. Absolutely. That's what people don't understand is they're afraid of it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Your body can do it. Anybody's body can pretty much do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to adjust mentally. But your body, it's like animals in the winter when they change their coat color
or
they add fat or whatever they do to survive. Your body does the same thing. In the other end, it gets more fit slowly.
So the reason why I asked you about the measuring your progress is because that's something that I coach people, I said, we can't make real improvement unless we are able to measure that. You know, when you look at it and go, okay, I did this mile in this amount of time, let's just try to increase it a little bit. It's that little extra and that makes you stronger and has you reach for that. And I know you're that type of person anyway.
I know a lot of people do. I mean, you know, I don't even do it that way now. I just, a lot of people do. Lots of people do.
Mm-hmm.
Their phone application will show how far they went and the route they went and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I guess mine, I did it in my breathing. I did it in my pace. I did it in how long it took, just overall, how long an exercise period would take me, that kind of thing. I would push until I was breathing so hard that I had to stop, your heart rate slow down and your respiration slow down, and then I'd start again. And so I guess I just let my body
How did you make that mind shift though? I mean, cause you say it's not just a physical, you know, getting out there and doing it, but going from a really sedative life to now going and walking every day. I mean, how did you really shift that mindset and go, okay, I'm going to do this?
Well, the first thing that got me started was just wanting to have a different style. But as you've seen many articles that talk about what I don't know the exact chemicals and everything, but what your body does to your mind process, it's actually a chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It releases
endorphins.
Yes, that really happens as you get out there and do it, which again, people, they have the mental block of, I can't do that. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Because your body will do it for you. You just have to get out there and do it.
And even now you experience that a lot. You have a lot of people that say that, oh, I can't do that. And of course you can. I mean, I ran a marathon at 230 pounds. That was 26.2 miles. And people say, there's no way I could do that. Well, I didn't think I could either, you know.
Right.
I didn't think my physical body, and yes, it was very difficult on my body, but when you get your head in the game, wouldn't you agree that when you put your head in the game, there's endless things that you can do?
Yes. Right? And you learn that just in by doing it one day at a time. So people ask me all the time now, how do I do it? Where do I start?
Yeah.
And I tell them, just go out today and walk for 1 mile on a flat street.
Yeah.
Because that's not intimidating. Anybody mm-hmm. can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, then don't worry about what I was in high school weight or where I want to be or I want to lose 50 pounds. Don't worry about any of that stuff.
Right. Absolutely.
Walk 1 mile today, 1 mile tomorrow, and keep that going. And your body will tell you in a week or two, you can increase it. You can increase the slope. You can increase the speed. And that would just naturally take care of itself.
So for people that are really good at starting something like that, you know, doing that one day, what would you advise them to, how do they stay motivated? How do they keep doing it one day at a time?
I've always worked outside mm-hmm. in my career. So mm-hmm. I just enjoy being outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go walk simply. And if I get bored with where I'm walking, I'll go drive the car and go find someplace else and walk there. But I just enjoyed nature and the mountains and.
But going from never having that habit to having that every day, how did you do that? I mean, was there a specific time that you set yourself up doing, okay, this time I'm going to be doing it, or.
There was at first because it was at night.
Right.
When the kids were done.
Mm.
But then as my body adjusted, you get more energy
mm-hmm.
from the exercise, then I would start doing it in the morning.
Mm.
And so then I did mornings for a long time. I still do mornings. I did mornings this morning.
I know. That's what's cool is we kind of got reconnected a few months ago when you and I were both hiking up one of the canyons here locally. And you were walking up this canyon. It's pretty steep. It's, what, 1,000 feet?
Yeah, Timpanogos Cave is, yeah, it's 1,100 feet.
Yeah, 1,100 feet in 45-minute hike, you know, kind of thing.
Mile and a half up.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, we both were doing it for the same reasons, because we really want exercise and health. But you had this rock on. Tell people about what you do now.
About the rock?
Yeah.
Well, probably a lot of people have heard of the muddy races, like the Spartan Beast or mm-hmm. Tough Mudder, or those mm-hmm. kinds of things. After an accident that I had, mm-hmm. and I had done a lot of the weight loss, I wanted to toughen my body up. And mm-hmm. so I wanted to enter one of those
Take
races.
Take it to the next level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd never done anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
But in the race, they have particular obstacles mm-hmm. or challenges, mm-hmm. one of which is carrying something like a sandbag, mm-hmm. or they had a 5-gallon bucket full of gravel, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the rock thing started. As I went up on the mountains on a hike and just picked up a rock, and I didn't know how much it weighed or anything.
Right.
Carried it about 200 yards and dropped it. And then when I got down, I picked a similar rock and took it home, and it was like 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kept doing it, and I did it downhill. It's hard. It's really harder than it thinks. But I just did it downhill for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I remember the first, this is again, your mind shift yep. and what it takes. I remember the first time I took one uphill, and by now I'd increased the size of the mm-hmm. rock, but I thought I'd die when I took it uphill. It was horrible.
Well, and isn't that interesting that you carried around 185 pounds.
Right.
I carried an extra 130, and it seemed to be such a way of life. And now that we've lost this weight or released it, it's interesting. You pick that weight up, or even 30 or 40 pounds of it, and it's like, God, I can't believe I carried this.
I literally could not pick up the weight I've lost right now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I carry a rock that's about, it's almost 40 pounds now. I carried one Saturday on a hike with a group, and it was a different rock than my normal one. So it was off balance and stuff. It was quite a workout.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my backpack on
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's a change. It's a real challenge to carry that weight.
Well, and you also had a little different of a, you had surgery, right?
I did.
So you did, so for some, tell people about the surgery that you had and what kind of led up to that point for you to decide
do it. The why of the surgery is after I got on the hills
mm-hmm.
of walking and got more uphill, I wanted to pick it up one more level. Now your mind is caught up
mm-hmm.
and you're saying, okay,
your mindset's in the right place.
Right. And you're saying, mm-hmm. what can I do to increase my workout?
Right.
So I started riding my mountain bike and I did it.
How
on
much
the roads.
Did you lost by then, that point?
I'd lost 50 pounds.
Okay.
And I was doing it on the roads because honestly, I didn't have the balance and the strength and everything to go out on the mountains and do it.
Right.
And riding up in my hometown was going down a hill. My wife was at a Zumba class. I was going to see her, and I was riding down a hill going about 30 miles an hour, and an older gentleman had no idea that I was there and pulled out in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it was 2 seconds. I had no chance to stop. And I hit him going about 30 right in front of his front tire. And it sent me for a ride of my life.
Oh my goodness.
Threw me 30 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tumbled 4 times 30 feet. And the doctors after at the hospital afterward are explaining the kinetic energy and the physics of it and just said, you know, mass and energy and an immovable object. And there you go.
Wow.
And that energy is going to go somewhere.
Right.
And so it really tore me up. It tore my knee open all the way to the kneecap. You've seen the scar.
Yes, I was going
to
say, those are the pictures that I posted on Facebook, right?
Facebook, yeah. Right.
Oh my gosh.
It ruptured a disc in my back. It broke 3 ribs. It collapsed my lung. But the worst part, well, the knee was probably the worst part, but the concussion of the whole thing was just shattering.
Mm.
And so I almost died that night in the hospital.
What are they from? Just from the injuries?
The loss of blood and the concussion. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up the next morning, I had 12 tubes and IVs everywhere. I mean, in my arms, chest tube, intubated, feeding tube, tied down, neck brace.
So what were you thinking when you were going through all of that?
When I was flying through the air, I was thinking, I cannot believe that just happened.
Oh my gosh.
Is that what that, like when people say, I know, you know, I feel like I got hit by a truck. Believe me, you don't know what that feels like. But I also thought, I thought about my ex-wife. I thought about
your family.
The family. I thought about, lots of things went through my mind, but the builder part of me thought, I'm going to land right over there. This is going to hurt. And it did.
Oh.
Anyway, so then I was in the hospital for 6 days in intensive care. Mm-hmm. But the funny part about it is, and this is where the walking comes in, I was up. They make you get up.
Yeah, because they want to get you going.
So I was up after 3 days in a body cast and, of course, casts on my legs. And I was walking, within 1 day, I was walking a half a mile in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 6 days. By the sixth day, I was walking a mile within the hospital.
So do you think that all the time that you spent walking, was that a year before?
A year before.
Okay, a year before, helped you facilitate your getting better.
And so that's what I mean is why your body changes. Mm-hmm. I'd lost 50 pounds, but I was still 300 pounds. That's still way overweight.
Mm-hmm.
But my body had toughened up to where I could take an injury like that, and it was a horrible injury, and still be okay to keep going.
Do you think it would have killed you if you hadn't lost that 50 pounds?
Yeah, the doctor. No, it would have killed it. Actually, that one would have killed me if I had have lost all the weight I had. If I had hit that truck at the weight I am now, you'd be dead.
Yeah. Well, and also too, I mean, maybe if you hadn't spent a year preparing, I mean, I hate to say that, but preparing your body.
Right. Oh, right? Yeah. Absolutely. My body had toughened up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's crazy. And so from that point on, I mean, I saw that picture I put when you and I connected a month or so ago up the canyon. I put your picture and my picture before and then our after. It was really kind of amazing.
Right.
Amazing. What, 300, what would we figure, 315 or 320?
At that time?
No, together we had lost 320 pounds together. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I look at that picture of you before and think, oh my gosh. I mean, it's crazy the kind of journeys that we have and where you've come from and now how active you are. So
I'm sorry. After, then I started rehabilitation.
Right.
And I remember the first day, and this, mind you, this was like a month later because I couldn't even move.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the first day of rehabilitation. I could not move my leg. Literally, I could not move at 1/8 of an inch.
Mm.
And I was bawling in tears to the physical therapist that I would never be the same. I could never walk again. And they said, oh, yes, you will. You'll be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 6 months of really painful, hard work to get my leg so it would bend and, you know, get over the injuries and stuff. And but they were right.
Did you gain weight during that time?
Let's see.
Just because you couldn't be as active?
I did gain about 10 pounds back that time because you couldn't walk like I was.
Right.
And then because of the injuries to my knee and my back, I needed to get the weight off.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, okay, if I if I take another 2 years or something to slowly get off this mm-hmm. extra 100 and something pounds, what's it going to do to my knee that's just been operated on?
Right. Absolutely.
So that's why I decided to do this, the surgery.
Okay. So what surgery did you do?
Mine is called mini gastric bypass. It's similar to the gastric bypass that people are so familiar with.
Right.
The biggest difference with mine is it's reversible. Mm-hmm. So they could put you right back together again the way you were if they needed to.
Have you ever thought about that? Reversing it?
No, because I happened to hit right exactly where I wanted to be mm-hmm. with what I've lost. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've maintained now. Some people, usually they are on the on the careful side, and they won't bypass in your intestines
right.
quite as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so people might not lose their last 20 pounds.
Right.
Which is, you know, not unhealthy. Then you have it to work off, you know, but they don't want to take too much off because then you'll get too thin and you right. can't get the weight back.
Right. Well, there's a lot of people that I've worked with over the years have had gastric bypass or have had that kind of surgery.
Right.
And by the way, I went for the consultation because I was feeling like that was my last resort. And right. I think they told me I was 10 pounds not heavy enough. You know,
yeah.
they're like,
yeah,
you need to gain weight.
Right? Right. Yeah.
And then I ended up gaining 40 pounds, of course, and never went back. But a lot of people feel like that would be their last resort, that they have to go get a gastric bypass. I know that you've had that and you've had a lot of success with it, but you also feel that, you know, you have some consequences that you're going to have for the rest of your life.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Talk to people about kind of what your experience has been as you've gone to go have that surgery, as you lost that weight. And then now what are the challenges that you're having to live with the rest of your life because of that?
There are different aspects of it. One of which, they physically change your digestive system.
Right, right.
And so a positive to that is it bypasses your appetite's trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So I never think about food. Mm-hmm. I never feel hungry.
Where you did before.
Where I did before.
Yeah.
You know, so many people are very, as we've talked before, very conscious of food. They use food as
It calls out my name
exactly,
every day.
Exactly,
like, Becky, eat me,
exactly.
eat me. Not so much anymore, but it did. I mean, it's
right.
definitely.
And I never get that.
Okay.
Actual physical part, my stomach still mm-hmm, cramps like mm-hmm. anybody's stomach does.
Right.
So when I notice that, then I'll say, oh yeah, I haven't eaten for a while. I'm
mm-hmm.
hungry. I eat little bits here and there during mm-hmm. the day, which is really how you're supposed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be very surprised how little I eat
mm-hmm.
as altogether in a day
mm-hmm.
and how little you can survive on, if that's the word you want to use. I think thrive on
mm-hmm.
is where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one part, but your digestive has changed. So there are consequences to that too.
Yeah. Like one of the things that I've heard oftentimes is that the good food that's good for you gets stuck and it doesn't go down as much, whereas the bad food just goes straight through. Yeah, no?
That's a different process. Mine, for example, I don't do almost any dairy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's hard to digest.
Right.
Meats are hard to digest.
Mm-hmm.
At the very first, it's getting a little better now. At the very first, I could do slow cook something like a stew,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't had 5 bites of steak in 3 years.
Mm.
Chicken was
so what
really
do you
hard.
Do for protein?
I do protein shakes in the morning with mm-hmm. fruit and protein mm-hmm. powder.
Mm-hmm.
I can do eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Very little meat. What's funny, beef jerky has mm-hmm. never been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that meat is different. I guess it's the slow cooking of it or something.
It's interesting.
Fat is a really huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
So
just digesting fat.
Digesting fat. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because everybody, when especially when someone wants to be inspired by somebody like us,
right.
you know, they want to know, what do I eat? What do I do? What do I, you know, how do I? And I think so much, like, I want to go back a little bit to what we talked about before. It's our mindset, right? You've got to get your mind in place. There's a lot of different ways to losing weight, right?
And yeah. And the key, just like the actual physical, go out and do it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So is it with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
People are so worried about, can I get over being addicted to food?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about the end result.
Right.
It's not the end, it's the means. Just
exactly.
do it one day at a time, and that day concentrate on having a little bit less and exercising a little bit more, and it will take care of itself.
Well, I always say to people, and just like my business partner always says, you know, focus on the activity, not the result. And how many times does somebody want to lose weight? What do? They get on the scale every day. I'm like, what you focus on expands. So when you focus on what the number is on that scale, it doesn't move. It doesn't want to move. So for me, I only weigh once a month. You know, just because right. I don't want my focus to be on that. I want my focus to be, okay, what am I doing today to improve my health? Am I eating the right things? Am I exercising? Am I taking care of my mind?
Right.
What am I doing in this moment? And it sounds like you do the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I check my weight at least once a week mm-hmm. because part of the consequences of the surgery for me, I don't know how much of what I eat actually gets absorbed.
Right.
So if I,
which that is a huge problem with that surgery,
especially with yep. women, because mm-hmm. all the minerals that they need,
mm-hmm.
they have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
If I work out really hard, or I'm working at work really hard
mm-hmm.
for an extended period of time and not eating because I'm not hungry,
right.
I will lose weight.
Right.
And so I have to check my weight to make sure I'm not losing too much.
Now, do you do supplements at all? Because your body's really not absorbing what it needs, all of it that it needs. Do you supplement?
You know, I don't, and I never have mm-hmm. because I'm not a pill person. I never take pills ever, but mm. I should.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor also, you know, when you do this surgery, you really educate yourself on all the different types of surgery
right.
and what it's going to do to your body and everything. And so they do say, if you just eat a normal, healthy lifestyle, you're getting plenty of the vitamins and minerals that you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we don't eat that way normally. So that's one consequence of mine. I've been lucky that sugar, especially at first, sugar tasted weird.
Mm-hmm. To me once after your surgery?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, over the next few months, kind of really cured me of that.
Mm-hmm.
Although now I have a sweet tooth. Now I eat candy and stuff to give my body wasted energy so that mm-hmm. I don't just burn off everything good I eat and mm-hmm. lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. But the other one, another consequence that people don't think about, and it's happened to me bad, is when you first have these surgeries, you start eating with a baby spoon, mm-hmm. literally a baby spoon.
Really?
That size bites.
Mm-hmm.
And you get sick. And you get sick over everything. Everything you eat.
And so do they warn you of that before
yes,
you
they
go
do.
Go
yeah,
into
they do.
It?
And my sickness has continued.
Yeah.
I get sick over pretty much everything I eat.
So if you were to do this all over again, would you have done it a different way? Or would you have still had the surgery? Would you still?
I would still do the surgery, because at the time that I had the surgery, it was to get the weight off more quickly
mm-hmm.
to keep my injuries protected.
How long did it take you to lose the rest of your weight?
I lost 140 pounds in 6 months.
Wow.
And it was terrible. You're so sick, and your body is literally eating your body.
Right.
And you can actually feel the process. It's kind of like when you get a cold and mm-hmm. you kind of feel the cold coming mm-hmm. on that first day, and you think to yourself, I'm just not feeling good. I must have something coming on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that day, only all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And
you're weak, and that's part of why I picked up the exercise so much.
Right.
It's part of why I picked up the rock.
Right.
Is because I lost so much upper body strength, inches, literally inches off of my arms, 17 inches off of my waist.
Right.
5 inches off of each leg. And you just lose all that muscle mass too. Because, you know, your body doesn't know the difference between muscle or fat when
right.
you're losing it like that.
Right.
And so it's been a really, really hard struggle. Even worse than the weight loss is to gain muscle back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I do the rock.
Well, it's really important. I mean, I also lost all my weight without any exercise. I mean, I did exercise for years. But at the time, there's a reason, without going into a whole lot of detail, you know, people say, wow, you lost 130 pounds without any exercise. Well, I have to say, I don't recommend it, because when I got to my goal weight, I was working with a world champion boxing coach, and he would go, Becky, give me a push-up. I couldn't do a push-up. My body was so depleted
yeah.
because our bodies need energy, and it's going to take it from somewhere. If it doesn't have the fat, or you're not burning the fat, it's going to take it from the muscle. And
right.
that is so much harder to
yeah.
to repair. So
Boy,
it's really important
that
balance.
When you do those surgeries, you find that out.
Yeah.
Because you can't eat the energy.
Right.
You get sick.
See, that's, and it's so important. Now, see, I obviously did it without any surgery. So, I mean, I'm really an advocate for eating the proper foods and, you know, eating the amounts that we need for our body to get the nutrients, because even in the food that we have, and I'm not a nutritionist by any means, you know, anyone listening, but I will say just from my own personal experience is that even the regular food that we have is depleted. It's depleted from the nutrients that we need,
right.
Even organic, you know, it's there's, that's why I asked if you have supplements, because for me, I've learned that supplements are a really great way. It is not a way, a magic pill to not eat the good food, but it is another way to get the vitamins and the minerals that right. we need that can replenish
many,
our body.
Many people who have done the surgeries do supplements all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one question that I get all the time and I'd love to ask you is, do you have extra skin? Like what? I get that all the time.
Yeah, you get that all the time. I was really lucky because, and I don't know why, normally when younger people do the surgery, their skin is more elastic.
Yeah.
And so it will suck it up
right.
better. At my age, I didn't have that. And mm-hmm. so I had, probably 3 inches on my waist and mm-hmm. a couple of inches on my arms and my inner thighs. Mm-hmm. But now, in a combination with the exercise and filling the muscle back in,
right,
it kind of has filled that in pretty well. I still have a little bit.
Yeah,
I've maybe a pinch an inch on my waist, you know, maybe an inch and a half.
Isn't that amazing that our bodies, so this is what I always say to people, is that your body has a way of forming and coming back and transforming, I should say, is
right,
the right word.
Right. But and think about it too, when you, because I've been to part of these surgeries is you go to clinics mm-hmm. and check in.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen people who were 450 pounds
mm.
and now they're back to a high school weight. So they're right. 170 or
right.
something, you know, and they have folds of skin you could literally grab with both hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have to have, or you want to have another surgery to take care of that.
Right.
And boy, those are really tough.
Well, this is what I always say to people, is that I'd much rather have the skin than the unhealthy life, the mindset, and the weight.
Yes.
Because the skin is something you can deal with. There's a lot of homeopathic ways of dealing with it. I have the skin. I may have surgery. I may not. I don't know.
Right.
But I also really lucked out and was very blessed to be able to have my body come into come back into form, which, I mean, it's a miracle. It truly, truly is a miracle. But whatever it is, I'd rather be healthy than not healthy.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you look great, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks. I mean, do have people tell me all the time I'm too thin now.
You know what? Okay. So let's talk about this a little bit, because that's part of the journey too, right? When I lost all that weight, people told me the same thing. And I realized that nobody had seen me thin, I, let alone myself. I had never experienced, maybe you had, but I had never experienced being thin. And so everybody had an opinion about how thin, or you need to gain a little weight, or you're looking a little gaunt. Or
right.
So tell me about that and how you
to
that.
Aren't we hard on ourselves? Because to me,
yeah.
I'm still the heavy guy. That's where my mindset is.
Still. So yeah. How many years has it been?
It's been 3 years.
Okay. And do you still see that fat guy in, uh-huh. the, in the mirror?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And when I go to my Facebook page and I'm kind of clicking through some back pictures and stuff and I see that guy, it's like, I know him. Yeah. I think about it all the time.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I just, you know, I'm experiencing the same thing. And unless you've been there, you don't really truly understand it. So what kind of work have you done around that? Like, are you bothered by the fact that you see this fat guy, or are you surprised, you know, when you see that picture now?
Truthfully, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for where I am now.
Yeah.
That I don't have all those feelings we discussed originally mm-hmm. of, you know, you're not good enough. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know I can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I can do it through just little incremental steps.
Yeah.
And truthfully, before the surgery, it was the original walking, the original mm-hmm. mindset of getting out there and getting the endorphins going and,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that your body will change. You know, like I could have done my whole weight change just like you guys,
right.
like you did. The only reason I did the surgery really was because I had the accident.
Right. Because you would have just kept going down that path.
I would have just kept going down that path.
Yeah.
It would have taken me longer probably.
So do you do, I do something called mirror work when I look at myself in the mirror. And I really, I mean, when I hit my goal weight, I was shocked at the, my body and what it looked like, because I just had never seen that girl before. And I, when I started dating and started getting this, you know, response from guys that I'm beautiful, it was a real shift for me to really embrace that part. So was that a process for you as well? I mean, did you have to go through something to really embrace who you are? And it sounds like you're still kind of going through that process.
I'm very much still going through it. Yeah. You are beautiful, by the way, Becky.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's funny with a woman, because women in general have more of an image thing going than men do. Part of my strength deal is on Facebook, a friend started the 10,000 push-up challenge.
Mm.
So 100 push-ups a day for 100 days. This was 2 years ago.
Don't even give me that challenge. I'm going to take it.
when I started, I could not do 6 normal push-ups without putting my knees down on the floor.
Uh-huh.
But
I can't even do one, so you're better than I am.
I did them. I did them religiously, mm-hmm. 10 an hour for mm-hmm. 10 hours a day, mm-hmm. every single day.
Mm.
Again, this is a build-up thing.
Right.
So after a year, I was doing 400 push-ups a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I don't do them as often now, but I do them twice a week, 400 mm-hmm. push-ups a day.
Mm.
And what that did, now this is back to the body image, looking in the
right,
mirror.
Right.
So it increases your
muscle,
but your triceps a lot.
Right.
So then I'm looking at my body, and because of my muscle loss,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, wow, my triceps look great, but my biceps are not doing it at all.
Right.
That's why, another reason I picked up the rock.
Ah.
So as I carry the rock around, you've watched me, it's so heavy that I move it from shoulder, shoulder, and arm, arm, shoulder, mm-hmm. shoulder, arm, arm, that mm-hmm. circuit. Then I started curling it and lifting it, overhead lifting it, as part of that circuit.
Right.
And in our walk, like up the cave that we talked about, the trail for mm-hmm. a mile and a half, I'll do that circuit 6 or 7 or 8 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's increased my biceps so that they look the same. They look relatively
the same.
So you're
always improving yourself.
Yeah.
Going to the next level.
Yeah. I've been trying to improve my muscle strength.
Yeah. So how did you get your mind? That's the thing, is how do you shift that mind to be able to see that person that you are today?
Well, what I've noticed now with me is I haven't even discovered where I can go. Like the rocks.
Right.
I can carry a bigger rock and carry it farther and carry it faster. And that's why I did the muddy races. Okay, let's go try a new challenge and see if that tires me out, you know? I still have not done something hard enough to just be killing my body.
So,
and dying.
So you're saying to people, it's really important to take a goal, accomplish it, and then improve. Always being improving,
right?
No matter where you're at. And it's the same thing. You know, we were talking before we started this show, is that it's so vitally important that that we're always improving ourselves, that we're always willing to look at that. But losing weight is the easy part. Wouldn't you agree? Losing the weight is fairly...
versus the mindset?
Yeah.
Way easy.
Yeah. And then maintaining it, that lifestyle, is really where the work is.
Yeah.
It's also where the reward is.
It's where the reward is.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people now, it's like the muddy races. There's other muddy races like the Dirty Dash that are much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
Are you saying the Dirty Dash that I did was easy? that was crazy, Dwight.
You should have seen, anybody wants to see, there's pictures on my Facebook page of Becky and the Dirty Dash. You want
to
see
my
her.
Gosh. That was what, 2 days before the Dirty Dash. She said, oh, come do it. And I said to my girlfriend on the way down from the hill, I said, we are not doing this. And she goes, no, we are. I said, no, we are not. I am not ready for this. And it was so much fun.
Aren't they so fun? But did you notice, I was going to say, did you notice that there were people of all shapes and sizes and ages and everything, you know?
Every and it was fun.
Physical characteristic.
And I have to say, though, Dwight, too, that was so cool that day. And if you don't know what a Dirty Dash is, basically what it is we get dressed in, you know, whatever you want to get dressed in. There's all kinds of costumes. But you run through all these obstacles in the mud. And I have to say, Dwight was like on the forefront of our team. I couldn't believe we stayed together because you couldn't tell who was who, right? With all the mud. But you were always challenging us, let's run to the next place, let's run to the next one. You know, it was 6 miles of courses in the mud. And I just kept saying to my girlfriend, I'm like, Dwight just won't stop. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And that's really how you live your life. I mean, I really get it that you live your life in that way, that's always looking to push yourself to the next level.
Right.
you know, and that's why you've been able to, and you and I both lost our weight at the same time and we've maintained the same amount of time. And so that's what fascinated me to going, you know, I really want to interview you because it is those habits, though, that mindset that, you know, okay, I'm just for today, I'm going to do something to strengthen my mind and my body and my soul.
Just believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Cause you can do it. You can do it. First day is just take today, but now you did a muddy race that you didn't even know existed.
I know. So and it was so much fun. I'm sore for 3 days.
Next year, you know, you'll do something different. And
yeah,
it is just a progression, and believe in yourself and take it one step at a time and you'll get there.
Yeah. And so why is it so important, would you say, for someone to start today? Or what's one of the, if you were to advise somebody, what would they do today to get started on that journey?
Well, I would say number one thing is just mentally accept that that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Accept that you want it and you're just going
to... You want something different than you have today.
You want something different than you have today.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be happier. You want to be better. You want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the weight to be bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, again, don't even try to put the end in mind. Just put today in mind.
And then you said believe in yourself.
And believe in yourself. And believe in your body. You'll get it. Your body will be just fine.
Wouldn't you say also to be patient with yourself? Because it's not going to be a perfect journey.
It definitely is not.
I mean,
it definitely is not that. Yeah, take it slow and steady, and just keep taking little. Don't be expecting some huge reactions and huge rewards about it. Just take little ones and accept that, and just be consistent. You're changing your lifestyle, so just be consistent at it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when they start any kind of food program or weight loss program, I think we're so focused, or at least I was for many years, we were always focused on the end result and thinking that that was some kind of a destination to achieve. Like, oh, if when I get to 140 pounds, I've now arrived. And what I've discovered, and I don't know if you've discovered this as well, is there is no arrival, right?
Exactly. An example of that last fall, I believe it was, we went hiking up above Brighton Ski Resort, one of the famous ski resorts around, and pretty good mountain with a group of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get up to the top, here's Roger, 84 years old, standing on top of the mountain.
Wow.
And I was just surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went down, he was right with us every single step.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his own Facebook hiking group. Mm-hmm. He takes all the ladies up there and everything. And he was quite the little dodger, you know? And I said, Roger, you're absolutely an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be there when I'm 84 years old. I want to be standing on the top of that mountain.
Well, I know you will be, Dwight, because I just know you. I mean, you really are an inspiration to so many people and to me as well. That, I mean, you're out there all the time and you're sharing what you're doing all the time, which is only showing people that you really can do it. I mean, coming from the life that you came from, 30 years of struggling with your weight, and yes, you had a different journey than I did, but really, when it comes right down to it, we both have very similar habits that we've created to maintain this lifestyle.
Right.
And give people, just real quick before we finish up, give them a couple of things that you do on a daily basis that has just been such an important part to integrate into their life or into your life to have the success that you've had.
Probably number one, I stopped watching TV.
I don't watch TV either.
I don't watch almost any TV. Once in a while, if there's something you love, or maybe a couple of shows, TiVo them or something, and watch them late at night when you're not doing something anyway or whatever, but get out from in front of the TV and go find other activities.
Mm.
And so now, as I told you, when I started, I wanted to change my lifestyle.
Right.
So I have a tennis group. I have a volleyball group. We do hikes all the time, as you know.
Yep.
We put hikes on all over the place. And I just, every single day, I exercise.
So you really get support group, which is, I'm huge on this, but get support groups.
Right.
You know,
go meet people because they're having the same experiences.
Of course.
And go develop a skill you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a progression to do that too. And just get out there and get some vitamin D from the sun and go enjoy things and have a different lifestyle. And you will, that appreciation and enjoyment of that will keep you going in your weight loss.
Absolutely. Any other last advices that you have?
Yeah, you can do it. Oh, and that's about it for me. I do still watch what I eat. I exercise every day, mm-hmm. and I challenge myself even now.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been, I've learned some things too, because you've inspired me. I sometimes don't get out and do all of the exercise all the time either, but you're such an inspiration that you, every single day you do something to feed your body and to take care of your body in that regards. And I appreciate your example.
Thanks, Becky. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Thanks so much. And you've been listening to Creating Healthy Living with Becky Sampson and Dwight Prince. We appreciate you joining us today, and we'll talk to you soon.